Oh, hey there, listeners and juicers. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that if you have fallen in love with the Draw Your Dice podcast and want to help put some new fruit on the table, but don't feel comfortable making a monthly commitment, well, you can support the show via the Acast supporter feature. No gift too large, nor too small. Just click on the link in the show description and know that I am sending you the strongest hug when you do so.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/acast. That's 15% off at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another rambly episode of Devlog for Umbral Dive, or project name Umbral Dive, because that may not be its true name in the future. My name is Jeremy Gage. As I hope that you know at this point, if you've been listening to the Draw Your Dice podcast for a while, you can find me at JeremyGage5 over on Twitter, or you can listen to the announcements on the @DrawYourDicePod, also on Twitter. And you can also go to haveyouplayedthis.com, where lots of this information is hubbed at. You can also join the Have You Played This Discord server, where everyone hangs out, talks about stuff, game-related or not. Make some friends. Come make some friends. We just, as of the recording of this episode, just hit 100 members on our Discord server. So that's really cool. But with all that out of the way, let's talk about Umbral Dive again. So last time I sort of introduced why I was making Umbral Dive. I guess this is a recap. This is like an anime recap. In the introduction, I talked about why I wanted to make Umbral Dive. It was super late at night, but I talked about a lot of the complaints I have with the traditional adventure skirmish game systems that are currently out there. Think there is a big space for someone on the indie side to make a tactical mat adventure RPG situation. So that is what I'm attempting to do and is turn into a big game. After that, I talked about the current concepts of the battle system, which have continued to mutate and alter over the course of its creation, as I think about new lenses to examine it from and how it connects to all the other systems that'll be a part of this modular game. I'm going to talk about characters today, but I want to give sort of a quick rundown on what I see design as moving forward. I'm attempting to make sort of this, if you can imagine, like five concentric rings. Maybe it's not five, maybe it's actually four. But when I think about the skirmish adventure model, I see like three zones of scope when it comes to gameplay. There is combat, which is the smallest scope. It focuses on second-to-second combat. Then another layer up is intimate role-playing. So this involves like NPCs and things of that nature. Inter-party relationships. And then above that is kind of like delving or engaging with like the level, if you will. If this were a video game, this would be engaging with the level of the game. So the dungeon, the fortress, the mage's tower, whatever have you, mechanics for that. And then maybe it is four. And then fourth is sort of like the overworld, which is factions, campaign things, how the world responds to certain actions that the players take, which makes the world feel alive. So I am, maybe foolishly, but I don't particularly care, I'm essentially making four games. There will be no like core mechanic that goes through all the systems. So what I mean by that is D&D 5th edition kind of has a core mechanic in D20. Almost everything you execute from combat to roleplay involves the D20. There will probably be dice. There will be probably some cards. But none of those are going to be linked together. My thought is that I want to create these, like, I'm imagining these four rings, and you can take a ring out of its set. Imagine like a baking cutter, like a circular baking cutter that you just remove one of the smaller sizes or larger sizes from. I also want the systems to be critical massable, which is something I'm making up. What I mean by that is, I don't want a gameplay loop that says you go from the smallest circle to the biggest circle and all the way back again. I want a gameplay loop that says when you need this tool, when you need these sets of mechanics, they're there for you to answer certain questions. So if you had a table that was not interested in second-to-second combat, you should be able to remove that smallest ring and still enjoy the world of Umbral Dive. So that's my ultimate sense. I can get into more detailed ones if you want in the next devlog, but today I set out to talk about characters. And the reason I talked about that stuff first is because it kind of determines the mechanics that can be attached to a character. So first off, what's like the story of the world that you're engaging with? Well, the current setting name is called Crown, K-R-O-U-N. Just because I'm getting weird with it. Crown is a world which is far, far flung in the future. It's heavily, heavily, heavily inspired by Horizon Zero Dawn. So it's what you would call post-apocalypse in a way that humans are no longer the dominant species anymore. We are so far separated from our, what we would call our modern era right now. Maybe like 1,000 years or some BS like that. The world has regrown in that short amount of time. Thanks to a system called Dust, which are nanobots that helped to rebuild the planet, if you will. Helped a sort of like revitalization process. And so we either have clones or people who have been altered by dust or people who have been exposed to some sort of like weird mutation. So that's the world that's going on. And the story that I want to explore is how do we grow the future of this world while being haunted by the memories of our destructive past? How do we deal with those things? So as characters, I don't want there to be a progression system. I want there to be sort of like a deck building mix and match system for character creation. Kind of think of Slay the Spire, right? If you play the Ironclad, and which is like their warrior, you kind of have a couple different build archetypes that only really progress through synergies, which is what I love about it. You're never really like leveling up. You maybe gain access to new cards or something over the course of your gameplay. That's just sort of like a pacing gating mechanic. I don't really need to do that in this game. And so the idea is that you could make a, you know, health sacrifice build if you came across the right cards, or you can make a defensive build, or you can make a strike build, which is just using any card with that strike in the title. And you can have these different feeling characters underneath this larger umbrella archetype in the Ironclad. There's a couple other builds, but I think my point is made clear. So characters are not going to have progression. They are going to be vehicles for engaging with the game. You can imagine them as like top level, I don't know, level 20 D&D characters or whatever. And you just sort of, you can swap out what they're called our tactics, your actions. You can swap out tactic cards and things like that on your board. Whole thing I'll get into. Maybe I'll do like a video version of that so everyone can see, but yeah, so the first thing about characters is that they're in this post-apocalyptic world, and there is no progression for characters. But then you might say, well, Jeremy, what are we working towards? Well, we are working towards the progression of the world, right? If this story is about how do we become stewards of our new planet in a way that we can learn from our mistakes of the past at some point. The world needs to progress. Factions and cultures need to progress. So all progression will be focused on kind of like faction style growth mechanics and unlocking new areas by getting renown or influence. So those are some of the first pieces of the character puzzle in terms of stats. Is you'll have renown and influence, which is very similar to how glory works in Aegon Second Edition. You kind of just get benefits from particular groups that you can call on favors over a course of time as you build influence and renown. The reason why there are two different ones is renown is for your party, which is related to factions, and influence is related to another product that I'll talk about, but it's sort of my version of adventures or scenarios. But that'll all become clear when I talk about other stuff. So what are characters made up of? Well, they're made up of an identity. And in this game, I didn't want to do any fantasy races or sci-fi races or anything like that. What I basically said is that you're neo-humans. You come in a couple different flavors. You can be synthetic, which means that you're an AI, some sort of like combination of dust that has become sentient in its own way. And you're sort of this, what do I want to call it? Cyborg, I guess. Think sort of like Ghost in the Shell, maybe, kind of energy. Sort of cyberpunky. Then there are the clones, which don't have a good name, but they're basically cloned humans, basically your regular ass human. And then you have bonded, which are in this game, again, heavily spawned, inspired by Horizon Zero Dawn. There are these mechafauna that sort of roam the land, but certain people have made packs or science or something like that, but you basically wear these almost anthropomorphic suits, if you will, of, it would kind of resemble like the Tenno from Warframe, but very animal looking. So like you might have a bonded deer person or something kind of in the synthetic realm. It's like an in-between of synthetic AI and cloned humans, where you're like this half and half energy. So that's sort of the identity and shape you can take on. As you play the game, you'll, as a part of your identity, you'll talk about like what region you're from in the world, which I'll get into on a settings discussion. And you'll also talk about like what your community job was before you came with the become what the player characters are called, which are alters. They're people who can tap into the dust and create sort of magical effects. Technology equals magic in this setting. Additionally, you can be, you'll have expertise, which is like a skill system that I have, which is, has sort of like a Voltroning mechanic where you're stronger together as a party to complete tasks, but you're weaker but faster if you separate when you explore dungeons and stuff. There are five expertise currently. There's archaeology, which is understanding like the past. We're known as the old ones. If you're thinking about who are we in history, we're the old ones. So there's archaeology. There is eloquence, which is sort of like ambassadorship and speaking and writing and kind of like almost etiquette style things. It helps you speak to different cultures more easily. There's dust arts, which are people who do extensive research on the dust, the nanobots that create these magical effects. Then there is bio studies, which examines like the megafauna and the greater region at whole, or essence studies, I think it's called. And then there is there is like a, what is it called? Computer science one, where it's sort of like hacking focused and you're trying to work out the technologies of the old ones, which are these kind of like war machines or ancient dens called cauldrons where the mechafauna are created, like giant factories. So that's what their skills are related to. So you have these five skills. Additionally, you have your dust/drives. There are five colors of dust. There's red, blue, green, gold, violet. If they sound familiar, it's because they are. They're from Magic the Gathering. I don't have any intention of hiding that. But each dust color is related to a sort of internal truth or drive that the characters have that you sort of like follow throughout the game, or the intention is that you follow them throughout the game. And they can change over the course if you want them to. They have a specific like circular order they go in. So if you were to be a gold-colored individual, if you changed at the end of the session, your only options to change to would be the ally colors that you can float to, which in this case would be blue or green based on its location. So I'll have another devlog that goes more specifically into the dust colors and the drives and stuff. And then you're also made up of roles as a character. So this is taking from concepts like Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy 14, sort of like the MMORPG space. And it's sort of like my attempt at class design, but it's a little bit more generalized than specialized in terms of your player character. So you'll get access to two roles, and each of your roles will have a training loadout, which has arsenal and skills and things. The five roles of the game are wardens, who are like your tank characters, vanguards, which are your physical damage dealers. They both of these two roles use in the setting EMP weapons. They're sort of like these light weapons that disrupt dust for a little bit to get rid of manifestations, which are the basic enemies of the game. Then there are invokers, which create sort of supernatural effects using the dust. They recreate sort of natural, you know, it's your fireballs and stuff, but the dust, the nanobots, recreate that by rebuilding themselves rapidly and producing that effect. So you sort of like hack in or tap into the dust to produce these abilities. They do sort of quote-unquote magical damage, either melee or range, depending on your training. Then there are breakers, which use, you can imagine them, again, as like hackers in a way, like the invokers, but instead of commanding loose dust in the air, they try to like send simulation viruses to manifestations, and those create effects like poison or bleeding or stuns or things of that nature. Sort of like your status effect role through the lens of hacking the manifestation. And then the last one is Synergist, which is like your healer/supportive class. They focus on using the dust to enhance the human body in some way. So it comes at a cost. You have to be careful of how much you're corrupted by the dust as a person. Otherwise, you can kind of be driven mad by its influence. But they send like dust into your body to give you, you know, super human abilities, super speed, strength, create barriers of light to protect you, things like that. So those are roles. And then you have tactics, which are going to be cards in nature. Different tactics come in different styles depending on your role and your training. There are basic actions in the game, which I'll do another combat devlog to get more specific into that. But you essentially get these cards that are like weapons with moves on them. And you can sort of like mix and match these weapons depending on your role. For instance, right now in the playtest materials I'm working on, I have a Vanguard training, which is, you can consider a subclass. A training is a subclass. I have a Vanguard training with an arsenal of 2 hand axes. And then they have a lot of response skills or reactions that involve movement. So there's sort of like a moving flurry of slashes. They get behind enemies really easily. They kind of like dance in a circle in a melee range around foes. So they're very much like a, they kind of hone in the concept of perfect dodge, if you will. And so why are characters created this way? For combat, you have 5 roles, as I mentioned earlier. All characters have all 5 roles, but they have different stepped die as a piece of them. So for example, if you are a rank 3 Vanguard, your die would be a D10. It goes from D6 to D10. And you might have Synergist D6. You might have Breaker D6. You might have Warden D8 or something to that effect. And you gather these 5 dice and you roll them and you allocate them on your tactics board. And that determines the effectiveness of certain abilities or their impact, as I call it. So you do this 5 dice roll, then you place the results on these little slots that help remind you throughout the battle what you rolled and for what. And you're making decisions about that dice allocation. For when you interact with like a dungeon or something like that, or do RP level things, you roll your expertise plus your drive or your dust color. And that's sort of taking from Aegon 2nd edition, where you roll a couple of dice and you use the results of those dice with everyone in your party to decide who succeeded at the task and how everyone else contributed to that success. So it's sort of like a cooperative version of Aegon 2nd edition mechanics. And then you have, additionally, characters have culture knowledge as a part of them, like a knowledge category, and they're broken up into the different regions. And I'm doing this sort of like percentile dice system where you roll D100 based on whatever the stat is. And that stat can grow. That's probably the only piece that can grow in relation to like the character is like their influence and how well they know a particular region. And you can answer, this is like a, either the GM gets to answer a world question or you get to answer a world question based on the results as the player. So you might have like a 20 out of 100 and you have to roll under. So you roll your D100 and you rolled a 21. So the GM would get to decide some lore about Crown's Fall or something like that. Or they get to interpret a certain mechanic that way. So that's kind of characters in a nutshell. You play these, what's called, they're in cinema, they're called flat characters. The idea that it is a character that doesn't change throughout the story, but because of their internal truths or drives, they influence the world around them to change. So some examples of movies that do this are Paddington, Back to the Future, Amelie. Let's see. Can't remember the other ones off the top of my head. But the idea is that their characters who wants and needs are going to be satisfied at the end of their narrative, and they've made no change. They got everything they wanted by continuing to be the person that they are, and the world around them responds to that. So in Back to the Future, Marty McFly wants his dad to be more assertive and more confident. And so Marty never really changes. Katniss Everdeen is also an example of a flat character in that the world changes around her, but she never really changes as a character. Now, that isn't to say that any of these characters don't gain new skills or attain new physicalities about them or gain new perspectives from the people they meet, but they always challenge those perspectives with their internal truth, and that sort of never changes throughout the film or the story. So that's what I want to, that's sort of like my dangerous experiment. I think that one of the things that attracts people to D&D is that they love to see the progression of their character. But I think on a from my sort of intuition and viewing of actual plays and how people talk about their characters on Twitter, half the time they're also talking about how NPCs are changed by their interactions or how factions are changed because of their characters' actions. And that can still be accomplished without having your character grow, but just being the type of character that you want to be in the story. And I find that really fascinating. And you know what? People who play the game after it's done may not exactly play that way. They may end up doing stories where their character is the one focused on growth, and that's okay. But that doesn't come with mechanical benefit. Your personal growth doesn't affect you in levels or new spells or anything of that nature, because that's just not the game I want to design. That's very inspired by also Spencer Campbell's Nova and Light and soon to be Void, in that you play like a highly decked out character from the rip, and that's great. Like, people are responding really positively to that. And I think that's an amazing thing, because I feel, you know, again, coming from D&D, that D&D progression is so slow sometimes, and you always try to match what's happened. Like, you try to have the world challenge the characters on even footing at all times. And I'm not really interested in that, especially on the combat side of things. I think combat should be hard, not necessarily gritty or like lethal or deadly, but like challenging, like truly challenging in a way that new mechanics are coming at you. Very, very MMORPG. Like, how do you make, you know, in Final Fantasy XIV, how do you make level 90 or max level content feel different from other max level content? It's about the mix and match of abilities. It's about the amount of damage you need to output, the amount of damage you need to survive. It's not necessarily about, like, you didn't have a certain ability or that you didn't necessarily bring the right, well, I want it to be about like party composition and tactics and things like that, but it's hard for me to parse exactly what I'm saying. If someone knows what I'm trying to talk about in terms of like the difference of playing content that doesn't require progression, like, oh, I don't know, Arkham Horror might be an example of that. Or the Lord, like card games. Card games are actually kind of like that. Card CCGs and LCGs are kind of in the frame of what I'm thinking about, in that you don't really grow as a deck. You just try out different synergies that give you a power boost. Like, the more optimized or creative you can be, grants you better ability to do the gameplay loop. So, summary. We talked about characters today. Characters that will, by design intention, explore flat arcs where they have internal truths that they believe, and they navigate the world and cultures using that drive. You are made up of roles and expertise and identity and tactics and trainings. And you navigate a world where you're trying to help foster and steward it and protect it from the mistakes of the past to the best of your ability on an intimate level, where you're playing characters that are never going to be in a position of power. It's not really a power fantasy. It's more a solarpunk-ish simulation. Cool. Like I said, I've been Jeremy Gage. You can find me brain blasting on Umbral Dive stuff over in the HYPT Discord. I have lots of cool ideas and things coming with Umbral Dive. I'm hoping to have a playtest done by the end of March. So if you want to be a part of that closed alpha, I'm going to be picking people from the Discord. No Twitter announcements or anything like that. It'll just be strictly Discord stuff. So if you want to be a part of that, please come join. You can find links to that on my Twitter, I believe. Yeah. So thanks for joining me. If you listen to this and you have any questions about something I didn't talk about, or you're really looking forward to like a setting devlog, or you want to learn more about Magic the Gathering color theory, or anything that you just want deeper knowledge of, please send me a message. I'm happy to direct my devlogs in that direction, because if that's what's fascinating, that's what's fascinating. I can also talk about sort of the inspirations for mechanics as I go, but yeah, I'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about...
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.